John chapter 5, and begin reading with verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Thank you for standing for God's word. I'd like to preach to you upon the subject this morning, with the help of the Lord, of the tragedy of knowledge without action. The tragedy of knowledge without action. A knowing people should be a doing people. I think it was Daniel that said in the last days that knowledge, what? Shall increase. And sometimes I question some of the knowledge that we have. Paul said, I believe it was Corinthians, if I'm not mistaken, Paul said that knowledge puffeth up. Sometimes I question this age or this generation simply because we think we know. And something that has fueled that has been the access to knowledge. If you don't know the answer to something, all you have to do is ask Siri. Google is a good assistant at times. It took me the long route to get here this morning. Amen. I got here, but it took me the long route. And if we're not careful, if we do not accompany knowledge with experience, then we have an arrogancy and a pride that leads us down the wrong road. Amen. Hallelujah. I like to be able to read and know how to accomplish things. But there's something about it that when Brother Mike Schaefer says, Brother Sanders, this is the right exit to take. Why? Because he's been here before. Oh, yes. Help me now, Lord, will you? Amen. A knowing people should be a doing people. Faith without works is? Okay. And he also said, as the Spirit is dead, so we must have works with our faith. Now, we understand also that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is an action word. It is not something that is past. It's not something in the future. It is something that is now. Matter of fact, if you read that scripture correctly, it doesn't start out with faith is. It starts out with now faith is. Hallelujah. I have three issues with this gentleman that was laying at this pool. First, he has a social issue. The second problem I find that he has a systematic issue. And the third is that he has a security issue. The first problem I find is his social status. Now, I don't know about you, but if I want to get well, I don't want to hang around sick folk. The scripture said the porch that he was lying in, There was all manner of sick people. I never understood fully why God called me to be a pastor, because I hate hospitals. I totally hate hospitals. And my folks knew, or those that are around me knew, that if I was to spend more than 5 minutes in their hospital room, that I really, it was a miracle. And it wasn't because of anything major, it was just because of my makeup. Because they start talking about the procedures they had done with them, or they start showing you the wounds that they had. And I more than once have had to dismiss myself to the restroom and get a wet paper towel, okay? All right, and wipe my face, or I'd have been laying in the floor somewhere along with that stuff. But I have never enjoyed being around sick people. Especially if I'm sick, I want to get well. Do I get a witness in the house? Amen. And this gentleman had the issue I had with him was everybody that was hanging around him was already sick. Amen. All of his friends were people who had issues or ailments. Well, I guess the first question I want to ask you today is, who's your friends? The scripture lets us know very easily that friends can corrupt you. Amen. Hallelujah. I've illustrated this before in this sense. What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of friends are you hanging out with? Okay? Amen. You see, I pulled up to a stoplight one day, and there was this guy in a car next to me, and he was kind of thumping it, you know, and windows was rattling a little bit. And I thought, you know, I've just got to deal with this. This is just my nature. And so I got his attention and asked him to roll his window down. And he thought I was going to be a smart aleck. And he said, what? And I said, man, turn it up. One of my grandkids may be a hearing specialist someday. And that didn't go over very good, needless to say. But the problem with people who are listening to a lot of that type of music is all it talks about is murder and rape and drugs. And they do not understand that across town there is somebody who doesn't care a thing about that sort of stuff. Why? Because it is the association that they're with constantly. If I listen to country music all my life, or a lot, or at all, amen. But if it was a constant part or a thread of my life, I think I'd commit suicide probably in about 3 days. All they talk about is my wife cheating with my best friend, and my best friend running off with his wife's best friend. And amen. All they can talk about is crying in my beer, my dog getting run over, you know, and all those sorts of things. And it's just oppressive and depressive, all right? I ask you the question again, what kind of friends are you associating yourself with? What are you filling your life with? Who are you hanging out with? I know we live in an age, and I'm not so optimistic that believing. I don't know. I can't remember who it was at the fire conference that dealt with social medias a couple of years back, and maybe in Brother Austin, I can't remember. But whoever dealt with social media said it right. I'm not so silly as to believe by me preaching on that everybody is just going to shut it down and everything's going to quit. But I do want to put up roadblocks for you to keep you or prevent you from going down the wrong steps. Amen. One man said the only thing, and of course we've got so many social medias now, that just to preach on one of them isn't going to catch it all. So I just say, the only thing social media has done for the holiness movement is reveal their hearts. It tells you what kind of music you're listening to, and I hope it's not there, but what kind of movies you're watching, and it tells you what kind of, all you got to do is see who their friends are. Amen. Who are you hanging out with? Our county, you've got to understand, our county is about 92 to 9,300 people in the county. We have one caution light in the county. Hallelujah. After driving through Lone Oak all this week, I'm kind of glad for it. Amen. It's very rural, and I was geared a little bit higher, and so I formed a chaplaincy for our county. And in that, I just say this to give you a justification for what I'm getting ready to say. In that chaplaincy, I've been to the Department of Justice for trainings. It's my fourth term appointed by the governor for representing chaplains statewide for the state of Kentucky. I'm a certified law enforcement chaplain, certified EMS chaplain, certified fire chaplain, and I just enjoy that type of stuff. Matter of fact, it relates so much almost to being like a pastor. A law enforcement officer is just a lot like a pastor. Law enforcement officer, all he deals with is a gutter of society. So as a pastor, people don't come in the church and say, we are happily married and we're wonderfully saved. We're living holiness and everything is just all right. When you arrest them from the pulpit, they don't say, thank you. All right, I'll get out of that. Amen. But one of the trainings I took was cybercrime. And in that training, when an officer goes in for a cybercrime training, the first thing they do is sign them up to every social media that there is. And they give them a fictitious girl's name from the ages of 12 to somewhere around 16 or 17 years old. And within 24 hours, that person will have at least, at the minimum, 5,000 hits. And they estimate that 50 to 70% of those hits are pedophiles. How long has it been since you checked your children? I have an article at home in my files of a man who was a friend of a friend that was recommended to a friend, okay, on the social media. And in the process of it, let's just say his name was SR14. That's what he's come up with. And so he started talking to this young lady who was 13 years old, and in the process of it, this young lady began to share things with him, and she noticed the next day that there was a strange gentleman that was at her softball practice. And so afterwards, she talked to her friends a little while, and she went on home. When she got home, her father met her at the door and said, come on in here. I'd like for you to meet somebody. And when she walked into the living room, there was SR14. And he said, young lady, I want to tell you something. I'm a law enforcement officer. And he said, a few years ago, my best friend's 14-year-old daughter was kidnapped, kept in a storage facility for 2 weeks, repeatedly raped, and then murdered. And I purposed at that point that I was going to do my best to prevent this. Within 10 minutes of conversation with you, I knew when you went to softball practice, I knew what your jersey number was. I knew what time softball practice would probably be over. I knew when your parents got home and when they weren't home. I found all of that out within 10 minutes of conversation with you on this social media. Why are you saying this, Brother Sanders? I'm saying this because we are living in a warped society. People now who directly come from outside of our churches, you got to understand, they don't know anything about God, okay? Nothing at all. They have been told that they have come from monkeys, and they believe that. Okay, we live in a closed society right here among our fellowship. Not only have they been told that, but they don't know anything but drugs and alcohol, immorality. They've been told they don't even know what sex they are, okay? And they believed all of this, amen. We are different inside of here, and that's what I'm talking to you today. Who are you hanging out with? Social issues that we've got to be careful of that will take us from where we are. I don't know about you, but I don't like running around with people who have a less standard than what I have. I've said this many times. I'm dumb enough all by myself. I don't need anybody else to make me any dumber. I don't need anybody else to seduce me to something that I need to come down with. I need somebody that's going to challenge me to go a higher step. Been through a few struggles just in the last few years, and I had friends who would tell me, you need to shut your mouth, you need to stop that, you need to be careful, you need to do this. I want somebody who's going to tell me the truth, not somebody that's going to lie to me. Years and years ago, B.H. Clendenin had a reel-to-reel that he made, and it was called, he called it the Judgment. And in that, he told the story of a man who was in hell. And he was going around in hell picking people up and throwing them back down. And he picked somebody up and throw them back down. And the angel asked him, "Who are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for the preacher that lied to me." What are your friends doing for you? This is the reason why parents are so particular. You see, I think parenting should be like conducting an orchestra. Now, faith is. Say that word now. Okay. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Can I explain something to you about faith? Faith. All right, I illustrate it this way. My oldest son, Jared, when he was born, we'd spend hours upon hours upon hours rocking, you know, praying for him. I mean, she did in the middle of the night. I did it in the day. Okay. There was a few times. Okay, I did get up and, okay, we'll move on. I see I don't have much of a bearing witness in here with that. Amen. But we'd pray, and in our prayers we'd say, "God, you have a will for him. You have a plan for his life. Somewhere in the future, if you tarry and everything goes the way it should be, you have a wife for him, and then you have a home, and you have children for him." And man, we was praying. So faith is what? The substance of things we hope for, and it is the evidence of things that we cannot see. And so, you know, we didn't see all this in the future. And about 16, 17 years old, he'd went to the restaurant and saw this pretty little girl down there. Okay, and he decided he was just going to branch out a little bit and ask her out on a date. Can you see where this is headed? So I found out from his sisters. Anybody have any sisters like that? Okay, JC. Amen. Amen. So I found out from his sisters what was going to happen. And so I went to his room just about 10 minutes before he was planning on leaving. And I said, "Where are you going, son?" And he said, "I'm going out." I said, "We don't just go out. Where are you going?" "Yeah." "Oh, Dad, you know." I said, "Yeah, I do." And before we leave this room, there's one of two things that's going to take place. You're going to call her and cancel, or I'm going to call her and cancel. That's very simple. "Oh, Dad, let's not start this again. Dad, we don't need to be doing this." And I said, "Well, you're not going to stand her up, because if you stand her up, me and you are going to the restaurant tomorrow and you're going to apologize." Boy, it got quiet in here, didn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I could have just stepped back and said, "Oh, God, we gave him to you when he was born. We dedicated him in church, God. We let him know, oh, God, please take care of him, God. Keep him on this date. Oh, God, please don't let him get seduced. Oh, God, don't let things come into his life. It's not going to be there." But I was putting action to my faith. Faith is the substance of what I hope for. And so I could go on to other stories, but we'll just keep it right there. And I guided that, okay? Now he's married to Lori. He's got four wonderful children, got a nice home. Amen. And now it's the evidence of what I could not see. I wonder sometimes with our children that we haven't even become almost like the Roman Catholics in the respect that we say, "Oh, we took them to church, we left them at church, and the preacher was supposed to have helped them, and we took them to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher didn't do what they're supposed to do." No, where it starts is right there in your home. I think I'm going to branch out here and just let you know some of the Sanders rules, okay? My kids know. All of them know there's a price to compromise. I'm not saying this should be your rule. I'm not saying this, but we prayed it through a long time ago. And we said, "Listen, our kids know that if they lose out with God and compromise, that they're not going to walk back into my house wearing their pants. This is my house. This is my territory. I have raised you this way. You're not going to walk back in here with your jewelry and your jewelry and your makeup. Now, what you wear when I come to your house is one thing. What you want to wear if we meet you in a restaurant is something else, okay? But my house is still my house. And these are the things that we set up when we first started having children. And we're not going to compromise now just because we want to maybe think that we can get you back into it. Oh, it's quiet in here right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, who's the friends you're hanging out with? Where are they leading you? Where are they taking you? I had a problem with this guy's social status, okay? How could you get healed with everybody there? You know, one of the difficulties that I had with this gentleman, and my wife tells me not to say this, but I said, if my arms were cut off and my legs was cut off and my name was Bob, I believe I'd have been sitting right at the edge of that pool. So that if it even a breeze come through and a ripple come through that, amen, I just plopped right over into that pool and man got healed. Amen. But it seems like he wasn't there because he asked Jesus, I don't have a man to get me there. You think after 38 years. All right, the second thing is leads me into the system he was locked into. Okay, Jesus come in, and I mean no disrespect at all, but Jesus come in and said, son, would you like to get healed? And I just want to say, duh. Why do you think I'm here? But Christ was trying to pull something out of him that he had let get sealed over because of year after year after year. And in so many words, he looked back at Jesus and said, now Lord, and he didn't know he's Lord, but Jesus, don't you know we have a system here? I mean, this is the only way this thing can work. I mean, for 38 years, it's happened this way. And you can't come in here and just disrupt things right now. How many of us have got hung up into a faulty system in our life? Help me now, Lord. Would you give me grace? Amen. The only way the Lord can do, the only way that the Lord can work, the only way it's going to happen is if we have our preacher that's preaching, or if our service goes the way we want it to go, or if things happen just the way we expect it to happen. Amen. How long's it been since you just moved out of the system? I understand order. I understand that 100%. And that's why God's given you a pastor. Hallelujah. But if we're not careful, we get hung into a system. A faulty system will breed discontent. And then it will come from discontent. It will come to doubt and fear. One of the things I've never been able to figure out about church folks. See, I told you I preach like a pastor. I just. If y'all got some evangelist sermons I could use, borrow maybe, that would help me. I've never understood the security of a pew. Most people have gotten saved in a church when they have moved out of their pew. Most. Most people have gotten the Holy Ghost when they have moved out of their pew in the church. Most people have gotten their healing when they have moved out of their pew in the church. Come to the front or just in the aisle. There's something that comes along with a liberty when you step out of the corral that you have built yourself into. You just have to step out. How many's ever heard anybody testify? Boy, it's the hardest thing I could do to step out of that pew and walk down that aisle and give my life just to get out, if I can just break. But boy, they'll say once I stepped out of that and started down the aisle, it was such a liberty that hit my heart, such a liberty that hit my soul. Woo. There's some times when I was pastor, amen, I just got so tired of the humdrum. When folks come in, I'd say, okay, I want this side of the church to move to this side. And I want this side of the church to move to that side. And for about 4 or 5 weeks, we had great services. It seemed like a liberty, and things broke loose. I was the one that was more confused because I had gotten to where I could look over the congregation and see who was there and who wasn't there. And now I'm having to find them in the different places.
places. How long's it been since you just messed your system up and just changed pews?
There's a time or two it was so dead and dry. One Sunday I remember one of my daughters hadn't been married long, and I got to preach that Sunday morning. I looked out over the church, and this one was playing with the baby, and that one was kind of nodding in his head, and this one over here was fiddling through the songbook, you know, and this one over here was just kind of looking off somewhere in La La Land. I said, there ain't no sense in me wasting my time. They ain't paying attention. So I said, stop. About 10 minutes in my message, I said, let's stand. Let's just dismiss and go on home. I'll go home and eat lunch. So my son-in-law looked at my daughter and he said, what's the deal? What's going on? What's he doing? She said, there probably wasn't anybody listening. Here, sometimes it's gotten so dead and dry, and you're just trying to pull and trying to pull and trying to pull. Amen. And I just stopped and said, let's go back out. I want everybody in here to go back out the doors. And let's come in like God told us to come in. Enter into his gates with what? And into his courts with what? Amen. Don't come in that door unless you got your hand in the air saying, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, look, could you imagine what Sunday morning would be like if you'd come into this church house expecting him to move with a praise upon your heart? How long's it been since you got out of your system, your faulty system? It hadn't brought you any healings. It hadn't brought you deliverance. You hadn't got the Holy Ghost. Your family's not got saved. Why don't you do something different? Oh! Woo! Woo! So when do we start that? What has it said? Now faith is. Help me, God. Amen. Faith is an action word. It is something that moves. Now, because I don't know if we'll get to this third one. Amen. He had a security problem. Because when Jesus looked at him, he said, son, would you like to be made whole? He said, sure, but no what? Man is here to help me. His security was lying upon some man to do something, some man to act. I refuse to believe that my deliverance or my help is contingent on you or somebody else acting before I can get what God has for me. It's between me and him. You think you intimidate me? You don't know where I come from. You think you intimidate me when I have a need for God? You don't know what I've been through. Amen. When we get desperate enough, our security will lie in one thing, and that's God. How'd you get saved? I got down to rock bottom. I had to call on God. How'd your marriage get made whole? I was at rock bottom and I called on God. How'd you get your healing? I was down as far as I could get, but I called on God. I thank God for men that God has used. And he's used them in my life, and he's done wonderful things in my life through them. But I'm here to tell you, when I get low enough, when I get to bottom enough, amen, I'm thinking just recently, amen, going through some mental and just some issues, and I was laying down there by the pond, and I was saying, oh God, I've got to have your help. I don't know what's up, what's down, what's right, what's left. I can't figure it out. Hey. And about that time, a good friend of mine rang on the phone. He said, what you doing? I want to throw that thing in a pond. And I said, man, I feel like the very foundations of my faith are being shaken. And he chuckled. And I wanted to throw it in there again. And he said, no, sir. I know Philip Sanders, and I know his faith is solid. It's what you have built on your faith that is being shaken. Now you think about that. Woo!
But you see, I'd got down to the bottom. Amen. And God's saying, here, let me help you. Let me give you sustenance. Let me strengthen this. Let me encourage it. Amen. So when do we start this? Okay, I see about 15 of us have caught that. Amen. When do we start this? Hallelujah. Can I say this? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Instantaneously come on the scene. Amen. I can go through the Old Testament and talk to you, and even the New Testament, talk to you about how instantaneously God used that word now for it to come to pass in somebody's life. I don't know what you're struggling with this morning. I don't know what your difficulty is right now. Amen. But whatever it is, I would like to challenge you to move on faith. You see, faith is an action word. I'll say it again. Faith is an action word. You will act upon faith that comes into your heart. Are you suffering with a physical problem this morning? Are you suffering with a mental problem? Are you suffering with a social problem? Are you suffering today with a marital problem? I challenge you. Don't wait till tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't put it off till the next revival. You see, folks, the problem was, I don't have time to wait another 365 days for God to work in my life. I gotta have him. I gotta have him. I gotta have him now. Is there anybody right here this morning that would stand right where you're at and get out of your system? You're needing God to work right now. You came to this service this morning kind of thinking, I'm okay. Everything's all right. But you know down deep you've got issues somewhere in your life that you need God to act upon. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm not going to wait on the water to be troubled. Who cares? Amen. I heard stories of guys that when they started feeling the Lord, and I don't know, maybe y'all may be in this church. I don't know. I just heard stories, okay? Amen. About an old boy, when the Lord would start moving on him, he'd get an old cowbell out from underneath his pew and start walking around the church ringing that cowbell. When that cowbell started ringing, his buddy would walk up and get one of the potted plants and walk around behind him with the potted plant. So we have a cowbell and a potted plant. Amen. It may not be the cowbell and it may not be a potted plant for you, but when are you going to get out of your routine? I'll come in, I'll sit down comfortably in my pew. I'll come in, I'll be all right. I'll come in, I'll just wait until the preacher gets done. I'll come in and just wait for the altar call to be given, and I can come incognito. What God's wanting from you this morning is for you to get so much faith built up in your heart that if you've got to get up in the pew and walk over somebody else, that I've got to have him. I got to have him now. You see, this man didn't realize he was waiting for a man, but he was looking in the eyes of the pool. He was looking in the eyes of the living water. Ow! He didn't need to wait for an angel. This was the Lord of the angels. He didn't wait for the water to stir. He walks on water. This is my God. And he's here this morning. And he wants to help you. But you must act. Okay. Okay, let's have a healing line. Okay, let's give a call for salvation. Okay, let's get somebody up to sing. And I'm not against these things by any means whatsoever. But have we set ourselves into a system that keeps us locked into our problems? Wouldn't you love it if somebody walked into your church on Sunday morning, or maybe tonight, I don't know, we're in this convention. Amen. I know I'm preaching Sunday mornings, okay?
Sunday night. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody walked in? A saint that you've been praying for weeks and months and possibly even years. And when they walked in the door and you opened up to start up service, I don't know how you do it around here, but Brother Prescott maybe come to the pulpit. And he said, well, it's time for us to get started. Hallelujah. Let's just stand and praise God. But that person suddenly gets out in the aisle. And they start coming down the aisle and say, Brother Prescott, I've wrestled with this long enough. I got to have some help this morning. I got to have some help. Or maybe they just stood up and said, I got to sing a song. Or I just got to do something. Hey, hey. That old boy from Brother Mike Schaefer's that's had a stroke. Brother... Chuck, Brother Chuck, my goodness, every service. Amen. If you only knew the history of that man right there, Bar Hopper. Amen. Isn't he the one, him and another man that was blocked out of every bar in the country because they caused so many fights. But one day, God saved him. And the reason why, he has no peripheral vision. He's got a stroke. He's incapable of doing things. They said you'll never be able to walk. You'll never be able to act like normal human beings. You saw him walk around here last night. That old arm, it's dead. You saw him trying to raise it up. Why? He's acting on the faith that God put in his heart. And we who have heard this all our lives will sit comfortably and hide ourselves behind a cloak of religiosity. What about it this morning? Do you want to act? Do you need it bad enough? Are you hungry enough that you'd act? Get out of the normal. Do things a little different just to show God that you hear him. ...120 of them... ...in an upper room... Yeah. ...waiting... Yeah. ...what are you waiting on? You see... ...if I was to hold this microphone up... ...and we used to pass it around and I'd say... ...what do you see? We each would have a different opinion of what we see. Some would see the cover... ...some would see a little tape... Some would see the screen. Some would see how tall it is. But we were all in one accord. We were all looking at the same thing. We were just seeing a different, our own personal view of this. The 120 that was in an upper room, they wasn't all sitting around saying, okay, everybody say Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. They weren't all sitting around saying, okay, God, now move. Okay, God, now move. Say these words with me, please. Amen. Not you. Okay? But they all had their mind on Jesus. Maybe one of them was thinking about how he healed the leper. Somebody else thinking about Lazarus getting raised from the dead. Somebody else, the blind man's eyes that were touched. And I know that many of them was thinking about the teachings that he gave them. Amen. He told us to wait. He told us to tarry. Hey, folks, let's talk about Jesus some more. Amen. Let's think about what he is, the Messiah. We're convinced that he's the Messiah. Amen. You want an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? When you walk in that door, you leave everything that's in the world out in the world. And I'm just, you know, as far as holiness standards, hallelujah, we're for all that. Amen. But what about the workload that you carry? What about the pressure in providing for your family? What about the strain of that doctor's diagnosis? What about the difficulties that you're facing with your family and your home? I still believe that we'd get out of our system and we'd come in and just say, oh, Jesus, come on the scene. I need you, Jesus, now. Now. Right now, I wish somebody in here would stand to your feet and holler as loud as you can. I need you now. I need you now, Jesus. Wow!
How bad is your situation? How difficult is your problem? What is your need? Hey. Why don't you stand up, throw your hands in the air, and just say, now. Any way you fix it, it's all right with me. Are you still hung in your system? You have to push somebody out of the way? What is it that's going to take for you to come to Jesus? For Him to give you the understanding? Today is my day. Right now is my time. Who knows? God may come on a scene. He'll make you walk again. He'll make you healed. The doctors will be in amazement. Your finances will turn around. Your marriage will turn around. Now! Now!